Hi, this is Eric Casto with the Oasis Podcast, and I'm so excited to get into the topic we're going to get into today. I don't even know what to really call it. I wanted to call it Rapture Ready, or, Are You Ready? Be Ready. But we want to talk about the coming of the Lord. So let me open in a word of prayer and let's go to the Word of God, because I don't know. I think this is going to be a series because there's just a lot that's bubbling in my heart. I mean, even last night when I went to bed, I laid down with I couldn't sleep because the scriptures were, just kind of rumbling around in me, the depth of this revelation. And let me just say this before I pray. The doctrine of the coming of the Lord is a place in the Spirit of God. That's why 2,000 years ago, Paul could write the church and say, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to be living in this revelation that I'm teaching you as pertaining to being ready for the coming of the Lord. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. Now, on the timeline of God, that's not very long. In the timeline of eternity, that's not very long. And I think once we get over onto the other side, we're going to go, wow, that was really short. Right now, it doesn't seem short. You're going through life, you're growing older, you're dealing with problems and family, etc. But once you get into the other side of eternity, it's a whole different thing. And you're going to go, boy, that was really, really short. So the doctrine of the coming of the Lord is actually a place of faith. It's a place in the Spirit of God. And these writers, these early church fathers, they understood that and they preached it and they lived with an expectation of his coming. And that actually brings a purification to your life. You don't want to miss the coming of the Lord, or you don't want to be rejected from entering into it. That's the point. So let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're asking by your grace and mercy that you would teach us and instruct us and that we would learn and that we would be ready. Father, we're asking this in Jesus' mighty, mighty name, and we pray this. Amen. Now, as we get into this, I want to begin with Ephesians. Now, this might be a little bit of a direction that you're not used to hearing pertaining to the rapture, the coming of the Lord. And if you're listening to this, you go, well, I don't know if I believe in the rapture. Well, by the time you get done with this, you'll go, I don't care whether I believe in the rapture or not. I want to be ready. And boy, that was a lot of good word that was coming out. And so, you got to make room for it. You got to make room for the Word of God so that the Word of God can speak to your spirit, so that the faith of that word can bring the vision of God, bring what God is saying. You know, the Word of God is a paintbrush of God. It comes in and creates a picture so you understand what God is saying, what God sees, what his will is. And when your eyes are open to it, you go, I see it. And so let's begin in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul says this, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. Okay, so this is Paul praying. And if Paul thought this was important for the church 2,000 years ago, then let's take it as an important prayer for us. So he would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So we want to get out of your knowledge, out of your religious tradition, out of your what you thought, and we want to get into the knowledge of God, into what God understands. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways, so are his thoughts. They're so much greater than your thoughts, okay? So what we're doing is making room for the Word of God. So he says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Let me just stop there. God, by the Holy Spirit, is moving on Paul to pray this. We need to pray it. And one of the prayers is that we would understand the exceeding greatness of his power that is to us. And the word exceeding in old Greek is like in an athletic event, the guy that comes with the discus, and everyone says, oh, he can throw farther than all of us. He's going to throw beyond the boundaries that we throw. We understand this distance, these boundaries, but this guy is so good, he's going to throw the discus, and it's going to go way beyond the boundaries of our ability. And so we're talking about an exceeding the boundaries. And so when you put this word together with the word greatness, then we know that the boundaries are greatness, and that this power of God goes beyond the boundaries of what we would call great, or what we would call mega. Now, if you speak English, you know the word mega means huge. It's just huge. And so what Paul is saying by the Spirit of God is this power of God not only goes and fills huge, but it goes beyond huge. It's miraculous power that is to you, to me. So, you know, think about that. Just kind of right now as you're listening, say, Lord, I just receive that. I receive that power working in me. What kind of power is it? Well, it is according, now watch this, the working, the operational energy. Energy in operation. This beyond mega miracle force is according to the operational energy of the manifested might that is inherent in him, this strength that is in God manifesting in might. This is, it's in accordance with that. Now, when you go into Revelation or some of these other revelations where people are caught up to the throne of God and they see God, they see the power and the ability of God and just, oh, the throne room. And so, you know, with that, you're seeing thunders, lightnings, voices, a cloud that covers the Father. You can't see the Father. No man can see him right now. It's just power, pure power. And so this beyond the boundaries of mega power that is to us. Oh, Lord, I want to walk in this. I want that power operating in me, okay? Now, let's go here. Which he wrought, this is verse 20, which he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. You say, well, I thought we were talking about the rapture. Well, we are, because let's take a look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. The Bible says, Paul speaking, behold, I'm going to show you a mystery. Hey, that's interesting. Yeah, give me. I want to see the mystery. We're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. but we shall all be changed. So Paul knows something. Of course, Paul said, I knew a man about 14 years back, whether in the body or out of the body, was caught up into where? The third heaven. And he was up there in that realm of heaven itself, hearing words that are not allowed to be spoken on the earth. They're not allowed to be spoken by a man. I mean, this is power. And this guy was walking in such revelation. And so when he says, hey, I've got a mystery for you, you and I need to go, hey, well, I'm ready to listen. I want to hear this, you know. And this isn't the stuff you're getting on YouTube, you know, people's mysteries and revelation. No. This is coming from the Apostle Paul. It's good. It's sound. You can put your faith on it. Now watch this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So we know that there is a trump involved here. In fact, if it's the last trump, then there are trumpet blasts that precede this event. Also, you can speculate. Now, I'm going to stress this. This is speculation. If the last trump has an effect, then I'm going to say the other trumpet blasts also create an effect. In fact, when you read the book of Revelation, when those trumpets are blasting, things are changing. They're not just blasting for, you know, like your neighbor playing his trumpet. It doesn't cause, you know, doesn't change anything. No, when heaven begins to blast a trumpet, things are being put into motion. So in my speculation is, if this is the last trumpet that we're looking at, something that's going to happen here, then what's happening with the preceding trumpet blasts? Also, I mean, this is me speculating. Could Donald Trump be an end time sign, and just to get people's attention, to see who's paying attention out there? Not to mention, you know, the hand of God has been on this man for the purposes of God, and I think, if anything, primarily for Israel. Standing with the nation of Israel. Standing with the ministry of Michael the Archangel, who's overseeing that land. And there's a divine order going into, well, or attempting, into the Gentile nations in order to bring the end times into completion. Okay? Now, I've digressed a little bit. So there's a trump. But what did the Bible says? It says this. We're going to be changed. When? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And when you actually look at the Greek here, you're talking about an atomic second. You're talking about the smallest unit of time. So let's just pause there. Let's just pause for a second. The Bible says, in 2 Peter 3:3-4, 8-13, the Bible says that, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Do you ever talk to people where you talk about the rapture of the church and they push it away? They begin to speak in a way, maybe not fully showing their hand, but they totally have an unbelief in it. That is a wrong spirit, because, like I said, the whole doctrine of the Lord's coming is a place in the spirit. You know who you're talking to when you talk to people and immediately they're on the same page. They're in that place in the spirit, desiring, expecting the Lord's coming. But other people, when you talk about this and they begin to push it off, go back to Peter and listen to what he has to say about it. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? And they began to push back on it. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But beloved, now he's talking to the beloved, those that belong to the Lord, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. Now, as we get into more of these studies, we'll look at that, because it's a thief in the night to the world. It's not to the beloved. A thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation, behavior, and godliness? Now watch this. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to this promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Now, in this passage, let's just break it down. He begins to talk about people that are scoffing, pushing back on the day of the Lord. And in this, when we start talking about the day of the Lord, he begins to give revelation that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Okay, let's slow down a little bit here. When we talk about the coming of the Lord, the first thing that we're talking about is an event that has a 7-year period in it, the rapture of the church and the appearing of Jesus Christ to come and to rule on the earth. Then with that, you have a 1,000-year reign, that at the end, you have the complete judgment of all evil. Everything is judged. What is wicked is thrown into the lake of fire. And then what happens? He talks about it here. Everything is made new. This is the day of the Lord. And it's the same as 1,000 years to God. This is just amazing. I want you to think about the power of God to dissolve everything, to melt and dissolve. I mean, you look at space, you look at our universe, you look at all the universes, the galaxies upon galaxies. And the Bible says he's going to melt it. He's going to dissolve it. And in fact, there's another passage where he talks about he's going to fold it all up like you fold your shirt and put it away. He's going to fold it up like a garment. That is just pure power. And and so in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're all going to be changed. Those that are loving the Lord, who are ready for him, who are set apart unto the Lord, that there's going to be an act of power that you're going to literally be maybe walking, driving, and in 1 millisecond, you're going to be in a different realm and completely changed in a body that's glorified. Now, when we look at this, you look at, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, and he begins in verse 13, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Well, you know, a lot of us are ignorant on these things. And let me tell you, the Bible has a lot to say about the return of the Lord. But in verse 17, it says, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Well, with who? Well, when you read the passage, all of the families that are in heaven, remember, God is the God of the families in heaven and the families upon the earth. Did you know part of the family is in heaven and the other part of the family is on the earth? And so the family members who are in heaven, they're going to come with the Lord. And Jesus said, now, let me just pause here. And I know we're going to have to do multiple teachings on this episodes. John chapter 14, Jesus says this. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Now, where is the Father? Well, he's in heaven. In my Father's dwelling place in heaven, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. So Jesus is on earth. He's talking about leaving the earth and going to where the Father is. And while he's there, he is preparing a place. So you want to say, well, what's Jesus doing right now? Well, he's probably doing a lot of things, but one thing he's doing is he's preparing a place. And that's not small stuff there. It's going to be amazing. Jesus never did anything bland, boring, weak. He does everything extravagantly, beautifully. And when he just, simple words, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Let me tell you, that's a simple sentence, but don't think it's a simple thing. It's going to be amazing. But he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you, what? Unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he's talking about, I'm with you right now, but I'm going to go away. I'm going to be with the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go away, guess what? I'm going to come back and I'm going to, now this is interesting. This is important. He uses the word paralambano. And paralambano simply put is kind of an act of power in a sense where he takes you and he brings you to himself. He's not going to go to you and you bring him to you. No, he's going to come. He says, I'm going to come and then I'm going to receive you. I'm going to come and receive you, what? To myself. Well, how's he going to do that? Well, it says he's going to come, but he's going to stay in the air. All of the families of heaven are going to go down to the earth. And then we who are alive and remain together with them are going to be changed and caught up together with him and then taken right back up into heaven. How quick is this going to happen? It's going to happen in the shortest amount of time. Now, you say, wow, that's a lot of power. Well, the Bible says, you know, dissolving the universe is, he's going to do that too. That's a lot of power. That's nothing to him. And the reason I read that first passage out of Ephesians is because this act of power flows out of the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus, who died for our sins, separated from the face of God on our behalf, was raised back to life by the manifestation of the glory of the Father, Romans chapter 6. And in this power flows all of these other operations of power that are going to change us in a millisecond, in an atomic second, where I don't know, you may be walking to the kitchen, I'm going to go to the refrigerator, and all of a sudden, You are in heaven with a brand new body, with all the families of heaven and earth now all together with the Lord. And oh my goodness, this is power. In fact, I almost believe that the revelation of why Paul is saying this is what happens is because it happens so fast, you don't even see it happen. You have to take the word of God to know families of heaven came down. They joined us on the earth. We were caught up to the Lord and right back into heaven in an atomic second. That's power. But let me tell you, it doesn't compare to the power of raising Christ back to life. That was the greatest act of power creation, eternity, has ever witnessed. And it's out of that act of power flows this rapture, this catching away of the body of Christ. Oh, let me pause there. That's enough. You need to chew on that. And you need to make sure that your heart is right with the Lord and that you're ready for Him. Heavenly Father, I'm asking, help make us rapture ready for this operation of power. Lord, you said that you're going to come like a thief in the night. That means we go to bed and maybe our wallet is right there by the nightstand. And when we wake up in the morning, everything seems the same, but the wallet's missing because a thief came in the night and took something. Now, Lord, I want to thank you. You said it's not a thief to us. But to the world, it's going to be a thief in the night. We were there, and then we're not there by an act of power. Now, Father, let your power come upon my friends. Let a dissolving anointing come. Let it dissolve things in their lives that aren't right, that we may prepare ourselves for this wonderful coming of the Lord. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. Also, if you're in the Apopka, Florida area, we've launched a church called Oasis Church at Kelly Park. So we're in the Kelly Park area of North Apopka, right up there near Mount Dora. And so you can email us at office@oasischurchkellypark.com, or you can visit us at www.oasischurchkellypark.com. And there's information there. And listen, we love you. Remember, Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Till next time. Bye-bye.